Got some news breaking here today. I need to, excuse me, share with you. A federal judge in California blocking the law there requiring Donald Trump to submit tax returns to compete in the state's 2020 primary. Boom! Federal judge Thursday granting the Trump campaign's request to block a new law that requires presidential and gubernatorial candidates to release 5 years of tax returns to run in the state's primary elections. The law signed by Governor Gavin Newsom, a Democrat, a guy who hates Donald Trump. It was signed in July. It would have left the sitting president off the ballot in California's March 2020 primary unless he submitted 5 years worth of his tax returns no later than November the 26th. Under the bill, State Senate Bill 27, Trump would be included on a general election ballot in 2020. Opponents of the law argued that depressed GOP voter turnout in the primary would discourage everything. And because you have jungle primaries in California, which means there's not a Republican primary and a Democrat primary. It's everybody in the pool together. The top two vote-getters then vie for the seat available in the general election. It's another way to rig the system so that Republicans oftentimes are excluded altogether from the ballot. You don't take the top Democrat and the top, you might end up with two Democrats. In fact, it happens on a regular basis. Plus, they, of course, have the highly irregular, illegal in 49 states, ballot harvesting law in California, where ballots are just mailed to people's houses, and then they get picked up by some dude in a van, giving you a sandwich and a beer, whatever. Anyhow, big win for Trump in court again in California, saying this law is unconstitutional, saying that the state cannot add additional requirements for presidential candidates that it does not get straight from the federal government. The states can't just pile stuff on and say, oh, we make it a law that you have to be at least 6 foot tall. We make it a law that you have to, whatever it might be. Can't do that. So we were just talking about energy. And Zach sent me a note saying, government will never take our cars away. That's ridiculous. Really, Zach? Really? Let me point something out to you here. Many years ago, I wrote a story about what I thought would disappear in the next 50 years or so. Your right to own a gun, much of your freedoms, including your freedom of speech, would be greatly curtailed. And I said that cars would be eliminated for a large part. At least the government would put monitors on your car telling you exactly how many units you're allowed to use in a weekly or monthly basis. If you go to the store too many times, you'd be dinged for that. Or might just say, sorry, Mr. Gerber, you cannot go to the store today. You went twice this week. Plan ahead better next time. But when you don't believe the government will take your cars away, then I have something for you here. It's exhibit number one. Presidential candidate, who else? Andrew Yang again, the multimillionaire, billionaire, genius from Silicon Valley. Yes, we're talking about taking your cars away permanently. Listen to this. It's bite number one. Go.
Well, I mentioned before that we might not own our own cars. Our current car ownership and usage model is really inefficient and bad for the environment. So you might have a society, you guys all probably agree with this because you're quite young. When I was your age, I was like a car, and like having that car was such a big deal. You know, I was driving like a 1985 Honda Accord that could like barely get up hills. And I was like, yeah, and I was like rolling the window down like this. So what we're really selling is not the car, it's mobility. And so if you have mobility that's then tied into a much more, if you had like, for example, this constant roving fleet of electric cars that you would just order up, then you could diminish the impact of ground transportation on our environment very, very quickly. So that's a very, very clear one.
Roving electric cars. Of course, those cars would allow you to go certain places, not allow you to go someplace else because the computer would be set in such a way. It's 11 o'clock. I want to go to the bar. Can't do that, whatever the case might be, right? So when you look at their plans and you look at the way they're laying things out, it's curtail this freedom, curtail that freedom. Here's Andrew, and make no mistake, he's not some radical inside the left-wing Democrat Party. He's mainstream inside that caucus of the Democrat Party. Eliminate cows. Have a cow flatulence curtailed by having less cows. And for those that do exist, we'll make sure we tax the daylights out of the farmers because they have to figure out a way to capture cow farts. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, fact is totally stranger than fiction here. See, we've got to eliminate cows and tax the daylight out of cows. We can't have cars all over. They're inefficient. It uses too much energy. Who do you think you are? And all you need is mobility. Wrong, Andy. What I need is freedom. Freedom of choice to do what I want to do when I want to do it without your intrusion into my life, Andy, because what I want to do has nothing to do with you. Do not tread on me. Leave me alone. Live free or die. All of that. But these are the types of controls these people are jockeying for, positioning for. And they'll sell it all. It's good for the kids. It'll save the planet. Chicken Little will be spared. It'll be great. Well, it'll be for the children. It'll be for the children. Which is nonsense, because as soon as those kids start paying taxes, then they can have a say. When they pay taxes as long as I have, then I'll take their opinions much more seriously. And I'm sorry. When do we start taking input from 8 and 10-year-olds on issues of importance? And the answer is we don't, and for good reason. But the government is coming after your cars at some point. Andrew Wang laid it out there. There's no question about it. You know, some states already have the little monitors. You can guess where, California, monitors in your car. And the scheme is to put this little computer in your car. It'll keep track of exactly how many miles you drive, and then you'll get a bill for that. It'll replace gas. Well, it probably won't replace gas tax. It'll be an addition, too. There'll be a tax on how many miles you drive, because that'll be your charge for usage of the roads and so forth. That's coming, too. Make no mistake, that's coming, too. All right, it's Friday. I'm feeling pretty good about it. College football on tap again this weekend. By the way, it's unbelievable. Heading into the third weekend of the NFL season, and the Detroit Lions haven't lost. Buy a lottery ticket. Be smart. Back after this.
The current no-fault legislation is a sellout to Michigan citizens and a total gift to the insurance company. As healthcare benefits are diminished from the current reform, healthcare providers, hospital workers, and care providers across Michigan are in jeopardy of losing their businesses, jobs, and livelihood as a result of the reduction in care under the present legislation. On Wednesday, September 25th, join thousands of healthcare providers, patients, and Michigan Brain Injury Providers Council members as they march and rally from the Lansing Convention Center to the Capitol in response to their sweeping changes to Michigan no-fault insurance. There is strength in numbers. Let's work together to mitigate the damage that will result from this recently passed legislation. To register, go to cpan.us, click on the events page, and go to Michigan Auto Insurance Promise Rally. Then join us in downtown Lansing on Wednesday, September 25th. This message is brought to you by Health Partners Home Care, the Eisenhower Center, and Advent Home Medical.